that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape, well, you better hit the
Gymwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Gymwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits. So I finally booked my my perfect ideal vacation.
Nice.
And it involves working out twice a day for 7 days, pretty much. We're going to Thailand, so I'm going to go out there. The first part of the trip will be just to train. So it'll be 7 days. Well, no, 7 days, but one day there will be one day off. But otherwise, it'd be every day, twice a day training. Eating, sleep, train, that's it. And then I'll get to travel around the rest of it.
What percentage of the population you think would do that, would go for that? Well, not necessarily just training Muay Thai, but going on a vacation where you're exercising rigorously 2 times a day, eat, sleep, whatever that
not
thing
a
is.
Large percentage, I wouldn't think. What do you think?
Yeah.
No, but that's great percent. For me, because I think sometimes I feel like because I work so much, I don't get the most out of my own fitness and my own exercises, so it'd be kind of cool to all I can do is just work out and sleep, and it's something I enjoy doing. Like I wouldn't, you know, make it clear, I wouldn't go on an exercise vacation just to go lift weights and, you know, run. It's specifically an activity that I really enjoy, so I think that's a fun thing about
it's a skilled activity, which I think is important, because when you immerse yourself in something, that's really how you get better. I feel that to be good at anything in life, there has to be periods where you really immerse yourself in it. You eat, sleep, dream it.
Yeah.
Right. So.
No, I would agree. Yeah. So someone should tell my wife that, because it's not in a bad way, but I don't have a lot of time at home, and I tend to become immersed in my own projects. So when there's something new to learn, whether it's an activity or for me lately, it's been 3D design or working with 3D printers. The time it takes to learn it appropriately, it takes a lot of work. And it does, unfortunately, take away from the limited time I do have. So it gets somewhat frustrating, and I understand it. And I wish there were more hours in the day and more time. Yep. But I tend to get a little obsessive about projects, because I feel like why do something
if you don't do
half-ass?
It right?
Half-ass. Like, you really want to learn it. And yep. I tend to get a little like blinders on. And I'm trying to teach myself how to better manage my own time with that in mind and not get so obsessed. And it works, you know, as long as I don't start. I think my big issue is what'll happen is I'll be home for the weekend and it's like, I'll say, you know, I'm not going to spend much time working on printing. I want to spend time with my wife. I want to spend time together. But what'll happen is
I'll do this one thing.
There's, yeah, exactly. It's like that one little thing I need to fix, or I just have to start this one process, so I need to do this one little design thing, and that immediately snowballs. And so I have to be better about not being naive enough to think that it's just going to be that one thing. That
make it that one thing.
That's hard, because sometimes
then just don't start.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the problem. I have to not start it, because very often when it comes to printing, when you start something goes wrong, and then that will snowball into what you think will be 5 minutes will turn into 3, 4, or 5 hours easily.
I think that's a very good analogy for eating healthy or avoiding certain things. Me, for instance, I cannot have like a tiny bit of dessert. If I'm going to eat it, I just eat a lot of it. So my way of avoiding that is just not eating any dessert. That I can do, but yeah. I cannot eat just a little bit.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So for some people can. Some people say, well, I can just have a little
portion.
Yeah,
no, I can't.
This, right?
I'm the same way. It's so, like if I'm going to have something, a little portion isn't going to do it. It's got to be a substantial.
As much as you want. Yeah. So, it's much easier just to avoid it, for me at least. So yeah. I think some people might benefit. You know, I've never bought into the sliver.
No,
but, you
doesn't
know,
work.
I guess if it works for you, then great. But it'll never work for me.
Anyway, so let's get into the article or the interesting study for today. So it's this can be found in Science Daily. Which is a great source for any news science related. It comes from Indiana University. And the title of the article is "There's More to This Program for Older Adults Than Biceps Curls." So basically the idea is for older adults, strength training is really important.
Yep.
You know that.
We've talked about
without
that.
If you don't exercise, muscle atrophy, and that's a huge problem if you're older. So you have to, you know, especially for just completing everyday activities, for quality of life. As you get older, it's really important to maintain, if not build, on whatever muscle you have.
Sure.
But when we look at what the standard exercise programs are with many trainers even, or in many gyms, or what we see in the magazines, it's a lot of straightforward biceps curls, you know, bench press, which is a good exercise, but a lot of it is just single joint movements, very basic, straightforward stuff that we did when we started lifting weights. You know, a lot of that hasn't changed. Obviously, we see the growth of CrossFit and other functional style trainings, but in general, you see most people are still doing their standard bicep curls, lateral raises, you know, bench press, dumbbell press, etc. So basically, with this study, it's called the 10-week three-step workout for life. So the idea being that you would take the older adults and take them through a workout program that's maybe more appropriate for their own lifestyle and their own activities. So you had two groups, one group which did the three-step workout for life, and then another group, the control group, which used a traditional resistance training workout. So like I talked about earlier. So in the 10-week three-step workout for life, the way that that worked was step one was basically traditional exercises like any normal workout routine. Step two incorporated activities for daily living. So movements that mimicked things that they would do normally through everyday life, whether it's like lifting groceries or putting things up, standing and sitting from a chair, things like that. And then step three basically took those activities and just made it more intense. So increased the intensity on that. And what they found was after the 10 weeks, both groups progressed about the same. So they made the same progress. So there wasn't a big difference between the two. But what they found was that 6 months later, when testing them again, the three-step people retained most of their progress, where the traditional or the control group had regressed. So you know, there's the if you look at the study, it's not as detailed. There's not as much going on. So I wouldn't take it as golden, but it does kind of show that for older adults, in addition to building muscle, it is also important that you incorporate activities for daily living as kind of part of the programming. So if you're a trainer, if you're a listener and you're older, or if you're a trainer and you're working with older adults, it's really important that you're not just, strength is important, but that you're not just doing strength training, but that you're incorporating into the strength movements that actually translate into everyday life, because that's going to be far, more in addition to the strength, it's important. Otherwise, you just build, maybe they look a little better, but they're not moving, it's not, movements don't transfer. Or I should say, the range of motion you train in and the speed that you work in, that's going to transfer over to everyday life. So if you're only doing biceps curls, maybe they build a little bit of their biceps, so that's not going to help them with daily movements, unless they do something that requires just a biceps curl type of movement. So,
yeah,
interesting study. We'll leave in the show notes. You can find it on Science Daily. But I thought the importance of it is just that for trainers, again, for people, for older adults, that your workout program really should incorporate movements that mimic your daily activity.
And it's actually not unrelated to the main discussion that we have today,
yeah,
which will have to do with performing activities.
Yeah.
So I have a story, something that happened to me recently, and I bet a lot of people have experienced this same sort of journey. And I know that Ryan did. You didn't even realize it. And then when you started talking about it, you basically went through the same thing. So the other day, I was on a hike with a friend of mine, and it went in a very different direction than I expected. The hike, the first part of it was fairly intense, a lot of walking up mountains and whatnot.
That sounds so easy. Walking up mountains.
It was on very standard terrain. It was up, but it wasn't super vertical. It was a gradual incline, that's a fairly intense exercise, right? You are going, when you're going up, you're going up mountains.
That's funny.
I know,
funny.
It sounds like, funny. Yeah.
So plaza. Like, we were just walking up some mountains.
Yeah. No, it was fairly intense. We get to the top and we get to where the trail sort of breaks off into the other trails, and he has his little map on his phone and he's like, all right, let's go this way. We were ready to actually be close to done, right? We were like, well, we'll just circle back. We figured it would be something similar to what we had on the way there, maybe a little more going downhill instead. And we're like, all right, let's just do this, circle back, and we'll take the white trail. So little did we know that by taking the white trail, by the way, we were at, the hike is called Breakneck Ridge, just so that you know. And that was certainly a harbinger, the name, things to come. Well, fortunately, not literally, but you guys will see. So on the way back, it turned into a rock scramble. And especially at one point, I was almost borderline rock climbing up the side on the side of a mountain. Now, it was never just like hanging where you had to have ropes, but there was one part where I had to go down a bunch of feet, and I had to sort of position myself, and it was quite difficult. And then my friend says, "Oh, you shouldn't have gone down. There's another way that's not quite so difficult." So I actually had to pull myself up, and it was like rock climbing. Only I had no gear on, and granted, if I fell, it could have been, you know, I could have gotten hurt. So after that, there was nothing quite so dangerous in that sense, but it was very intense. There was like lots of rocks. I had to get on my butt a lot and sort of climb down and like, do things. And there was just lots of rocks to walk over, and I had to navigate and hold on to trees and go down. It was vertical. It was a fairly steep vertical decline, and it went on for a long, long time. And it got me thinking, what if I wasn't in good shape? You know, what if I wasn't agile? What if I didn't have balance? You know, what if I, you know, had terrible conditioning? And I thought, wow, being in good shape really helped me out here, really came in handy. It's just so funny, priorities, because it started off cool. It was on a sort of a damp, overcast day. It wasn't raining. So it was perfect temperature. And then at one point, the wind started blowing and it started raining and it got really cold. And I was like, oh, this sucks. I'm freezing. It's really cold. But it's so funny how fast your priorities change. Like how quickly I forgot about that when it had to do with going down sort of dangerous terrain. So I thought that it would be important to make a podcast about how being in shape and having certain athletic traits could either save your life, save someone else's life, really help you out of a tricky situation, and just how it is very important now. It can really come in handy. And you mentioned that you actually had a similar experience.
Yeah, not similar, more endurance, I would say. Okay. When we went to Lisbon a few months ago, and one of the trips we did a tour. The guy picked us up, and it turned out that we were the only ones on the tour. And he was a really nice guy, and he said, "Look, you know, we can do whatever you want." So there was one area, this area Centra, that I really wanted to go to, and this tour was going to take us there, but it was only going to take us to one site. So I said, "Hey, there are these three sites that I wanted to go to there." So I was like, "Can we just do the three sites? They're right next to each other, and if you look on a map, they look relatively close." In fact, my plan was, I'm really glad this didn't happen, but my plan was, when we got there, we would not have him drive us back. We'd stay in that area and we'd do the other two sites and then take the train back. So he seemed to think, "All right, this is a lot. It's a lot of walking." And I thought, well, looking at the map again, they're right next to each other, but the map doesn't show you the elevation. So when we get there, he drives us to the top. So we get to the top area, there was a palace that we went to, and then he drove away and he's like, "All right, I'm going to meet you. I can't park here, so I have to park somewhere else. So I'm going to drop down and I'm going to walk all the way back up here, and then I'll meet you guys here, and then we'll go to the other sites." So he meets us at the site after we'd gone through the palace, and we went to the other two places. It was beautiful. One of my favorite kind of tours or day trips of any vacation I've been on. It was beautiful, amazing. But there was a lot of walking between the different spots, and enough so that even I felt it, like my legs felt it. And we were moving downhill as well. So I felt really bad for him because he had to park and then basically climb all the way back up to where we were and then meet us and then walk with us down. And it was just a lot of a big downhill walk and just a lot of walking to get from one place to the next. A lot of stairs, narrow stairs. It was just not easy. And not that it was the worst thing in the world. I don't think it was nearly as bad as yours, but I definitely felt it. And my wife, who doesn't exercise all that much, she felt it. My stepkids felt it. And I think they were all kind of sore the next day. And so I thought it made for an interesting discussion. Initially, the talk was, what are situations you've been in where being in shape helped you, or, you know, helped you get through something a little bit easier? And then that kind of morphed a little bit into what are some attributes that would be useful to have in various situations, whether it's a serious life or death situation or something more benign, like we're talking about where you're hiking for an extended period of time where
it might not have to be in amazing shape. See, but it might not have been benign for someone who was in poor health.
Yeah. Well, actually, this guy was the guy that was guiding us, told us a few situations where he had people who either couldn't handle that type of a hike and thought they could. And another situation, he had a woman who, an older woman, he said she was in her 60s, who got there and she didn't want to do the drive up. She wanted to walk up with him. So she did that walk up. She did the whole walk down, did the whole thing, but with that extra walk up and was perfectly fine, like outpacing him like it was nothing. So it was interesting. Again, I guess that person being in very good shape was able to handle it, where then he said younger people couldn't handle that. So
Yeah, that's true. So here are a few situations where being in shape can really come in handy. It can save your life, save someone else's life, or just make things much easier. So obviously the first one is on a hike, being in the wilderness where you might wind up walking or navigating some terrain that you didn't expect, or walking for a lot longer. You always have to be careful on a hike not to get stuck there at night, because then you're really in trouble. So that's one that we both went through, and I bet you a lot of other people have had a very similar experience. Now, another one that I remembered was I was stuck in an elevator, which I know for some people is a nightmare, people who are claustrophobic. So what had happened was the elevator got stuck, but we were able to open the door, but it was stuck in the middle. So I had to climb, I had to pull myself up and then sort of crawl through the sort of opening that was there. And you know what? It reminds me of, I can't believe I forgot this one.
Yeah. Well, how scared were you that the elevator would like turn back on while you were mid climbing?
It wasn't. It was stuck there. It was closed. I wasn't.
But how do you know it wouldn't just start moving?
I didn't think it would.
How long did it take for you to jump out once you had the thing open?
A few seconds. Okay. I pulled myself up and went.
I'd be terrified.
Well, yeah, I know.
So you climbed up. So you didn't go down. You actually climbed up.
No, I pulled.
So you had to do a pull up.
So I had to do a pull up and I had to push myself up. And you know what? It reminds me of another situation that I was in when my car accident. My car turned upside down. So I think just being in good shape and having good balance might have also helped me, because I sort of stayed calm during it. But then I had to climb. The car was upside down, so I had to climb out the window. Mm-hmm. So that was another sort of situation where being able to do that helped.
Actually, I thought of one thing because I was trying to come up with ideas.
That you went through.
Yeah, that where being in shape. So it was I was playing baseball or softball. I forget which one. As an adult, though. So with all the balance training and when I did a little bit of judo, and didn't do it all that much, but I did enough to learn how to fall. And falling is a big thing, because if you know, one of the bigger injuries or more common injuries is breaking wrists or fractured elbows, or shoulder problems from improperly falling, basically. And especially as you get older, it's actually a problem. Yeah. And totally forgot that. I didn't think about that. We should probably add that to our list of the list of traits that you'd want to have. But being able to fall properly. So I didn't take much from the judo because I didn't do it long enough, but I did learn how to fall to an extent. So anyway, I'm playing baseball or softball, and I'm an outfielder, or was an outfielder when I played. And so there was a ball hit into the gap. So I'm running. I think I was playing center field, and the right fielder's running after it, or one or the other. So we're both running for the ball. We both dive at the same time. He dove and I leapt over. And so anyway, what happens is we both dive and crash. So he didn't know how to fall, and he dislocated his shoulder or separated his shoulder. Ooh. I did know how to fall, so I did like a roll midair. Because again, I'm midair. I was the one that dove over. So I jumped over him basically, because I saw the last second we're about to collide. So he dove, I jumped. But I knew how to fall properly, so I fell properly and I was perfectly fine. But he separated the shoulder. Okay. So that was a situation where that specific type of training, that the falling, which is done in judo, helped me playing baseball.
And also your balance and sort of proprioception and being able to...
Yeah. So definitely awareness of where my body was in space and what was going on helped a lot.
Use that technique.
So yeah. So no, that was definitely a real life situation where that happened. Good. Right. I figured one out, because I was trying to figure out like when does it...
For sure. Falling. Yeah. Absolutely. So important. All right. So a couple other little situations where being in good shape really can come in handy. Maybe not life-threatening, but certainly helps, is when you're moving or just carrying a lot of things, right? Having the strength, balance. So a lot of times people are carrying something, not thinking, and they slip.
Yeah. Well, also having the strength and flexibility and endurance to maintain good posture is another thing. Posture, so a lot of people...
Not blowing out your back.
Yeah, like if you're going to lift a box off the floor, for a lot of people, they maybe don't have the flexibility to get down into a real squat and pick the thing up. So they'd bend over, and it might be the easier route in the moment, but it down the line, that's where the injuries happen. Mm-hmm. So definitely having the right, again, flexibility, posture, and strength and endurance to do that properly is important for when you're moving or carrying things.
All right. So the next sort of activity that we have on our list is running. Right, whether you're running from something, maybe you're being chased by a bear, you know, or by people
on your hike,
or you're running for something,
catch the train,
right,
or a bus,
catch the train, or a more serious situation where maybe you're running to get help, you are running to pick up, you know, first aid, running to try to I don't know any sort of situation like that. Maybe someone, you know, someone's in trouble and you're trying to go get help for someone or something like that. So being able to run for a long period of time, you know, without, you know, toppling over, and actually being able to run to get to your destination is, you know,
happens in New York lately. The subways have been such a mess that there have been a few times where I get on the subway intending on taking it a couple stops, which might be 10, 15 blocks. And it's not going. And at some point, I have to make the decision, all right, how much time will it take for me to run from point A or jog from point A to point B? And so that happens often. Or if, like in New York, the trains, there might be a timetable, but you don't really go on it. But like for the railroad or something, if I'm going to catch a train to somewhere, that's on a more of a specific timetable. So you may be running late and you need to catch that train at a specific time. And so you got to book it a little bit to get
there.
Sure,
sure. And of course, that also might mean running upstairs or running downstairs. So, you know, that adds a little bit of extra difficulty to that task. All right. And the next one that we had was, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't happen often, but it might if you get into an altercation, if you're attacked on the street or attacked by a bear or whatever it is, just being in better physical shape will help you get out of it or will just help you deal with the situation, whether you have to sort of physically defend yourself or once again run away or throw people off of you or something like that. And it might also, maybe it's not an altercation, but maybe you're stuck in a, if there's a fire or something and you have a lot of people running, right? That could be extremely dangerous, but your ability to sort of maintain your balance, stay on your feet, you know, run, you know, while this madness is happening, can also save your life or just help you prevent injury.
Yep.
So what's the next one that we had on the list?
It's helping someone.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I forget.
Well,
like in what context? I forget.
What if someone has fallen down? You might have to help pick them up.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
Right. Someone might be trapped. Maybe they can't pull themselves up from the elevator. So you might have to help pull them up. Right. So that's going to require some strength and balance and all those, you know, those sort of things. Maybe you have to carry someone to a hospital or something like that. Yeah. So being able to help someone else. Or if you're a lifeguard, someone's drowning, you have to be able to jump in. And we'll see how swimming actually is important too. Now, of course, being able to swim really, really helps. You might be in the ocean and then somehow you find yourself further out than you initially wanted to be. Mm-hmm. You might have to swim to get back. You might be in a boat and the boat goes over.
Yeah.
And maybe something happens with your life vest or you don't have it for some reason. You have to swim. You might have to be able to swim and also to rescue someone else. So I think just traveling in general.
Yeah.
You say that, like traveling, you're, you know, all over the place. You don't know what to expect.
I mean, it depends. I know people who travel. Like when I travel, I'm active. I'm moving all over the place. We usually up early, out, and it's a lot of walking. And just it's draining physically because we're just up and active and there's sensory overload almost, you know, especially if you're in a new place. But I also know people who, when they travel, they just they'd rather just sit at a resort and hang out, and then there's not much activity wise. So I think it depends if you're a traveler that's more like me that likes to get out and explore and move, then definitely being in shape helps. Because if you're not, then you have that, you know, if you're working a normal job and you're sedentary, you're not exercising, and then you have that week that you're on vacation, it's gonna be hard for the body to handle. And sometimes you do it, but then you just need to, like, the recovery is almost a challenge.
All right. So sort of the next part of the discussion is, what are the actual athletic or physical attributes that you want to have to help in these situations?
Yeah.
You know, the first one on our list was swimming, right? The actual skill of swimming, but also the muscle endurance and strength and the aerobic endurance that goes along with that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I did not have. I think it's the one skill of all these that I don't. I can't swim.
It's really not that hard.
Tell all the people who've tried to teach me. So here's the thing. I can swim from point A to point B very poorly, and I have very, very little endurance. I have a very hard time floating, and I've had a number of instructors try to teach me. I'm going to go back to take lessons this summer.
Maybe I can teach you.
Summer. You can try, but I've had instructors try to teach me for whatever reason.
That's just the one thing that you're...
And I don't know if it's dense, like they'll say, you know, the less fat you have, the less buoyant you are in water. I don't know how much of that plays into it. I don't know how much of it is just anxiety. Maybe I'm just too anxious in the water. I don't know how much of it is just not figuring out or understanding what skills it takes to float. But treading water or even just floating in the water are incredibly difficult for me.
Hopefully you can get that.
So hopefully I can learn, because it is a skill. I mean, I'd like it as a skill to have. Obviously, I don't do many things in the water, but definitely on vacation we've done things where we've gone, you know, kayaking or, you know, things where we're in the water, and even with the life vest on, it's a little scary. So I'd love to do something like snorkeling, you know. So, and I know that, you know, to an extent you can get around snorkeling without great swimming skills, but I'd like to be comfortable enough in the water. Just in general, I'd like to be comfortable in the water. It's a great workout. But anyway, so then the next skill that I think is important is balance, agility. You talked about it. You touched on it a little bit. Like,
is kind that of a skill?
Proprioception. Well,
it's both. It's a skill. Balance. And
so think about hiking,
an attribute,
right? If you're hiking, so you have potential problems just endurance, right? If you're lost, or if it's a steeper hike than you expected. But the other problem is that it's unstable terrain. So you have all kinds of things that you could trip, you could fall, you could turn your ankle. So having the agility and the balance and the dexterity, I guess I'm kind of grouping them together and they're different skills, but having that ability
I think that
to deal with unstable and uneven terrain will save you from getting hurt. You know, how often do people twist their ankles on something?
My ankle actually does still hurt.
And then it takes more effort, it takes more energy, it takes more time. So those are skills that are especially important if you're in a, you know, if you're not
tricky
in a
terrain,
city, and if you're in a tricky terrain.
But even in the city, right? There's potholes that you step in. There's something on the street that you trip over, and having that balance, you know, and some agility helps prevent you. How many times have you like tripped over something and you're able to catch yourself? And if given some other criteria, you might have fallen.
Yeah. Or even like something silly like riding a bike. If you're, you know, that's another situation where if you're riding a bike and someone swings a door open, being, you know, having the wherewithal to kind of avoid it
even fall but not hurt yourself. Yeah,
another time actually that happened to me right before we went to Israel, which is in 2008. I was riding a bike and somebody opened the door, swung the door open on the wrong side. I learned from there you can't trust people to do the right thing, but she was getting out of a cab and opened it so if the cab's on my right and the sidewalk's on the right, she should be opening it on the right to get out. But she opened it on the left. Why would you open a cab door? Who knows? But she swung it, hit me, and I flew. But again, knowing how to fall, and I flew midair. And worse is I had clips on my bike. So my feet were clipped into the bike. So me and the bike go flying, do like almost a 360. And luckily I was able to kind of fall properly, so I wasn't hurt. And the bike actually wasn't in terrible shape. I think a couple things got bent. Jeez. But again, knowing how to fall saved me. And I don't know why that story came up. But now I've got two stories of where being able to fall, where judo specifically helped me not get injured seriously. Yeah.
You know, another one is if you're doing judo.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah. All right. So the other one I was thinking, there's running, right? So you have two parts of running. One is just sprint speed. Or just being able to sprint for, you know, some period of time, like your example of running from a bear, I guess, or in any situation where you need to run to something in a short period of time but very fast, is going to be important, I guess, if you put yourself in that situation where you need to run from something or run to help somebody, that might be important. Or if you really need to catch that train or catch that plane and you got to sprint to whatever, then it might be helpful.
The skill of being able to sprint, and the body mechanics, the strength, the explosive strength.
Yeah, and also
and the anaerobic conditioning and also
dealing
as well.
with the next day not being a wreck because you had to do an all-out sprint. But then there's also the endurance. So there may be a situation where you just need the aerobic endurance. So you might be running or fast walking for just an extended period of time. So having that capability,
or you're stuck in a building. You know, that might be on fire. Yeah, so you have to walk down, or if something, you walk down, you know, 50 flights of stairs, right? That might not be some people that might be difficult, or maybe maybe you have to go up and the elevator is broken, so you have to walk up 25 flights of stairs, right? It might suck.
Yeah, like during the blackout, my dad's building was on the 44th floor.
Yeah.
So if there's a blackout and you live on the 44th floor, then you better have some aerobic endurance, or otherwise you aren't getting to your apartment.
Yeah.
So that's another situation.
That happens. You know, and speaking of that, God forbid it ever happens, but if there is like a fire or something in the building, to be able to navigate and to run through that, and you never know, things might collapse, you might have to crawl under something. So, you know, that I guess that would have been another situation. Now, I don't know if sprint speed helps, but that's certainly, you know, balance, you know, agility, if you can crawl.
I mean, I feel like a situation like that, a lot of other variables that just are almost out of your control.
There are, but if you're in better shape, if you can crawl for a while, get real low and just go fast.
Yeah.
Like what would that be? Crawling.
I don't know. I mean, I think that would go into balance, agility, dexterity.
Hmm. Oh, dexterity. Yeah, yeah. Having to climb. Here's a situation. If someone collapses and falls on top of you, you're in an airplane or something like that, you know, never get started, or something happens and someone has an accident, falls on top of you. If you're a small person and this is a big person, that might be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to maneuver to push someone off.
It's like a movie, all these situations you're coming up with.
I know, but it happens.
Okay, so people, I mean, that would be kind of strength. So I think, you know, pushing strength is one of our things. Right, so pushing, being able to push is a legitimate thing, whether it's pushing somebody off of you or pushing a door or some, you know, if you're stuck in a stuck somewhere where you need to drive a door open, that's a skill that might be necessary.
So pushing, yeah. Or someone's, your friend, a rock fell on your friend, you have to sort of push it off.
Yes. Right? Yes, if a rock falls on your friend, you need to push.
What can happen? Get stuck under something.
Yes.
Or maybe not a rock, but like something falls.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
Right.
It happens. It's just funny, the scenarios.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go back. Related to pushing, I guess pulling would also be.
So pulling, like your example required pulling strength, right? Doing pull-ups
when I had to pull up the elevator.
Up. But again, yeah, like pushing, there are times where pulling might be necessary, whether it's opening a door the other way or if it's pulling on a rope. I don't know. I mean, there are going to be situations where just rowing ability or pulling ability or pulling your body weight is going to be important. If you're hiking and maybe you have to climb over something, or if you're you're locked inside of a yard or something, and you got to pull yourself over the fence or something like that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so that's definitely something
unreasonable. So that now that would require some back strength.
Yeah.
Right. But you also mentioned something, grip strength. I think grip strength is one of the most important functional attributes, whether you're holding on, you know, to something. Right, you have to pull something up, as you mentioned.
A jar for a friend, and you don't want to look weak.
Yeah, so. Happens all the time.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, people always ask me to open jars for them. It's true. So what else do we have here? Oh, jumping.
Yeah, jumping ability would be is important. I guess, you know, it's a powerful movement. Who knows when you got to jump over, leap over something.
It might
be a short thing. It might be stairs. I, you know, if you're, again, if you're hiking or if you're in an unstable terrain, or and actually, you know what? Just thought of another situation I was in the other day where I saw someone
something
get destroyed.
Something comes at you, you might have to just jump quickly.
When?
If something's, if some, like something's coming at your, you know, I don't
like
know.
Like a dog coming after you or something?
I don't know. But like you said with the, when you were playing, when you were playing.
Yeah. Baseball, okay. No, fair. Run, So no, but actually, so we were, I was going to see my dad and we had like this flash. We, it rained really hard.
Or jumping over a puddle.
And so there's a nice big puddle of water.
There you go.
So I had to jump over that. Somebody tried and missed. And got their pants soaked. So something like that would be another situation. What else do we have? So I thought there are two things that are just in general important to have is overall body strength.
Sure.
So just having that strength is important because you never know when you're going
to
need
to move. For all of these situations, any of these movements.
Some kind of where you need to move some kind of external resistance. So I think that's one thing that's important. And then lower body endurance is important. Yeah. So again, for any of this, you know, if I have aerobic endurance, but my legs give out, then it doesn't matter. So for something like a hike or what I talked about when we were doing the hike in Sintra, it wasn't the cardio that gave out. It was the legs getting tired. That was
but
what was giving
out. But don't they both
go
hand in hand?
No, not necessarily. I mean, they go hand in hand typically, but
like if you're very weak, you're going to be.
Yes, but okay. But for example, let's say you run on a treadmill at a flat elevation.
No incline.
Or incline, right? No incline. So, and that's all you do. So you're going to develop aerobic endurance running, you know, in that with no incline. Or if you run, but you run again, flat, no elevation. But then if you do a hike and you're walking, but it's uphill, then that's going to kill your legs. You may have the cardio, you may have the endurance to do it. Although even the aerobic endurance is going to start to give, but you may not have the muscle endurance in the legs because now the legs are working harder because you're walking uphill. So that's what I mean is that, you know, having the muscle endurance in the legs is not always going to be the same as if you're doing the aerobic. So now if you're running, like Central Park is a great run because there are a few hills. So it's up and down and up and down. So there are a couple parts where my legs are giving out way before my heart's giving
sure.
out. So, and then when you have those flat runs or they're downhill, then you can pick up the speed. So having that all, you know, is different and kind of helps to balance out also the aerobic endurance.
We touched on something, and I'd like to end with this, that we actually maybe should have put a little bit more emphasis on, and that's being limber and flexible, right? I feel that there's so many situations where people got injured, could get injured, but if they weren't, if they're not flexible, if they're not able to, you know, move their bodies in certain ways, like what's the situation that you can?
I mean, thinking I was, one of my lights blew out, and it's fairly high up, and our step ladder is only goes so high, probably not as high as it should be, and I'm sure many people have been in this situation where you gotta climb the ladder and then reach up and pull, so you're kind of in an awkward position where you're relying on balance. So that's
balance.
A situation where balance, but also flexibility, being able to extend. So for example, my arms are flexible. So extending the arms overhead, for many people, they can't get directly overhead. So, and I'm short, so I need every bit I can get. So when I reach overhead, I was able to get at it much easier. But if you don't, let's say, have the shoulder flexibility, you might have to reach that. You know, if I didn't have that flexibility, it'd be a little bit more extension and it'd be a little bit harder. And so, I mean, that's just a situation I can come up with now, but I'm sure there are plenty of situations. Maybe you're like trying to hold it. Let's say you live in a building where you got to open up two doors and you're trying to hold one door open while you're grabbing another thing. And you know, just there are
like
situations where
your shoulder gets jerked way behind your back or something like that. That could
happen. There are tons of situations. Or lifting. Like I said, if you're trying to lift something and you're not flexible enough, then you end up compensating with poor movements, and then poor movements with a load often equal back injury. So I think that would be.
Yep. Well, we have an Ask the Trainer, and it's from Aaron. And he asks, I've noticed that I've been slouching a lot more than I used to. I would always walk upright, but as I've gotten a little bit older, I'm always hunching my shoulders down. I would like to correct this. So I heard about a brace that helps keep you upright, and I was wondering if I should purchase that. I also know that there are exercises that help with your posture. So I'm wondering if it's better to buy the brace or do the exercises, or maybe do both?
This is a good question. So I wouldn't be able to tell you which exercises because I don't see the posture. So I would have to do like a posture or gait and posture assessment or analysis to say what exercises might be the best. I would stay away from a brace that is kind of forcing, that's kind of forcing the posture, unless there is some kind of medical condition that requires it. So I think what happens with the brace, you see the same thing with like a weight belt, something that forces the proper posture is it doesn't allow the muscles to actively engage and keep you in the right position. So if you're wearing something that's going to put you in the right posture, then you're losing out on actually developing the appropriate muscles. So I would definitely say doing exercises, it will be the best thing. Now, one thing I might say is like tape might help, but not because the tape puts you in the right position, but the tape will kind of give you feedback as far as the positioning. So you may, that may help. But and then, like I said, exercises will help. Now, the thing with the exercises is they will help develop the muscles. So let's say you're overcompensating and the upper back muscles, the number of muscles in the upper back that are generally weak on most people. So you see the people that kind of have the rounded shoulders. So if those muscles are weak, then doing exercises to strengthen them and kind of get the neuromuscular system firing properly will help with activating those muscles. But it takes a constant awareness of your posture to maintain good posture. So just doing the exercises won't magically fix your posture. Because yeah, you may strengthen those muscles, but then you'll go right back to slouching. So you have to, so basically fixing your posture becomes kind of a 24/7 thing. You have to have constant awareness of your posture and constantly keep yourself in the right position. And it takes a long time. And then over time, you're able to correct your posture, but doing exercises won't be enough. And I've seen this from experience. It takes more than just the exercise. So I can give you, you can show me, I can do a posture analysis and see where your problems are and try to correct some of the muscle imbalances. But if you're not aware of your posture all the time and you're not correcting it all the time, you know, the exercises may help minimally, may help strengthen some muscles that are weak. Maybe you stretch some muscles that are tight. But if you fall back into the bad posture, then it's not really going to help you with your posture. So that, again, it takes, as I've talked about before, when you fix anything athletically or just in everyday life, you have to train in a way, you know, you have to train in a way that transfers. So when I'm doing exercises to, let's say if I'm stretching, if I have tight hamstrings and I stretch, that's going to help stretch the muscle and it'll help with mobility and will help with flexibility to an extent. But that actual hamstring stretch doesn't really translate to everyday life. So I need to still do activities in my everyday life that reinforce that new flexibility. And so if you're not reinforcing it by moving with good posture, then all the stretching and strengthening in the world isn't going to help you fix your posture. You're still going to have bad posture.
Right.
So, yeah, that's it. If you have any follow-ups, feel free to send them. Otherwise, I guess that's it.
Yep.
As usual, all of our stuff is at thegymwits.com. That's where you can find our social media stuff, contact forms. Alternatively, you can contact us at thegymwits@gmail.com if you have any questions for Ask the Trainer or any suggestions or comments. We got a great episode suggestion, so we got something good coming up. I'm glad we didn't go too much into grip strength because it's going to be about some stuff relating to that. So. Anyway, I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic.
And we are the Gymwits.